Well, good morning, Key Point. How are we? Good to see you guys. If you're here for the first time in a long time, I want to go ahead and calm your fears. I am not Casey Hennigan. Some of you may have walked in and saw me, and you're like, oh my God, Pastor Casey has let himself go. I'm not Pastor Casey. My name's Chad, and I'm from Daphne, Alabama. Pastor Casey is a dear friend of mine, and so I'll be the guest speaker today, and just so thrilled to be able to share with you. I've known and loved and followed Key Point for such a long time, and so by the way, if you're here for the first time and you are looking for a church, I cannot think of a greater church in Northwest Arkansas than Key Point Church, okay? So sit back, make yourself at home. I want to let you know, if you like the message today, come back next week. It's going to be even better. And if you don't like the message today, please come back next week. I promise you it will be even better, all right? When Pastor Casey asked me to come and speak, it was kind of cool because he let me know what you guys are going to be focusing on this month. And my church in the Gulf Coast of Alabama, we're talking about the exact same thing. So thrilled to share with you from the same topic. By the way, if you're watching online today, so glad that you would join us. You need to get here live one day. And by the way, I'm much thinner in person, okay? So it hurts me when you laugh like that, church. I just, but I do know how to dress on camera. So God bless you guys. Come on, let's give it up for our online churches watching all over America today. All right, now if let me introduce you to kind of how my life works. I'm a 20-year football and baseball coach that God called into ministry. So for those of you that came here saying, I really want to learn a lot, I want to be under a really smart guy, come back next week because that ain't this week, all right? I am a football coach that God called into ministry. I break it down to the lowest common denominator. I'm one of them preachers that like to put the cookies on the bottom shelf where everybody can get some. You know what I'm talking about? And so today, I've come to motivate you, and I want to challenge us to become and learn how to recognize a group of people in our lives called the lid lifters. So if you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 2, or you can check on your, you can watch the screen. My mom, when we started our church 7 years ago, she goes, you know what, Chad? One of the things I'm noticing about our church, these people are very disrespectful. And I said, why are they disrespectful, Mom? And she said, because when you say take out your Bibles, they always get on their phone then. I'm like, no, Mama, there's the phone on the Bible. And she's like, oh, what a day we live in. I was like, yeah, I mean, it's kind of really cool how everything works out now. So Mark chapter 2, let me give you the background. Jesus' popularity is growing, and he is healing and delivering people. He's crazy popular. He can't go anywhere without being recognized. Every time he teaches, there's overflow crowds. People are trying to get in the house. And he goes to this place in Capernaum. And what this group does that he's preaching to absolutely blows them away with their faith, all right? And look at verse 3, it says this. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on, all right? So here's the deal. Overflow crowd, there are some people that are so determined to get this brother to Jesus that back in those days, the roof was kind of made like with some doors. And so they climbed up the side of the house and they lowered this guy down. And it's kind of like, all right, Jesus, hate to interrupt your message right now, but yeah, this brother needs some help, all right? And so there are two things that we recognize in this passage that this group that we call the lid lifters, what they'll do for your life and what the same kind of people that we want to be, okay? The first thing that we see that a lid lifter will do is a lid lifter, they help us move. How many of you know, every guy in the house knows what I'm about to say. The greatest act of friendship among men is helping a man move out of his house and into another house. I mean, I've had some guys be like, hey, dude, I'm moving next Saturday. And I've watched some guys kind of like freak out and like, we're not at that level in our relationship. I'm sorry. I don't do this. I don't want to know you this way. You know, it's just kind of weird. Have y'all ever played the game, If I Were the Devil? You know, like some of the stuff you'd make people do in hell, you know. The one thing I would do if I was the devil, I would just like have a wing in hell devoted to like just moving boxes backward and forth for all of eternity. That would be the greatest way to get people to just like hate their life, you know. Whenever we moved out of our moved in our house, we've had two moves since we went to Alabama, and whenever I moved in one place, it was like 104 degrees. It was just miserable, and I paid some teenagers to be able to do it. But here's the thing: I'm a redneck. And when it gets cold around here, like everybody like freaks out where I'm from because we have like 2 weeks of winter. By the way, today the temperature that you're enjoying, yeah, that's December in on the Gulf Coast. All right, so I walked outside today. I was like, "Good Lord, I'm about to die." Where I'm from, the humidity is like a wet blanket. It's just hot and just miserable all the time. And so the next time we moved, it was like 30 degrees. I couldn't find nobody. All right, and so I'm a old football player, and so I've got a lot of injuries. I've got a bad back. I've got loose shoulders, and I've got a bulging disc in my neck. And a couple of years ago, They're talking surgery, and they said, "Hey, look, you just don't need to lift anything heavy." And so now when someone's like, "Hey, PC, can you help me move?" I'm like, "Brother, I would really love to be able to do that, but I got this bulging disc, and I can't lift anything heavy." And then all of a sudden, I'll walk away, and I start praising Jesus. I'm like, "Thank you, Lord, for this affliction. This is the greatest gift you've ever given me." So they help us to move. You see, what I like so much about these guys is they're determined. Now watch this. These friends have this man on this mat. They walk, they carry him up these stairs. You know, another question you got to ask whenever somebody's moving, is it one level or two level? These guys are carrying this dude. I don't know, you know, what the guy weighs, but I know it's heavy. And then think about this, how much strain it is to like lower him down. I mean, their back, their shoulders, everything's hurting on them. If I was carrying that guy, I'd be like, "You better pray to God Jesus heals you because I ain't lifting you back up, all right?" Jesus either heals you or you right there, you know? And they're determined. See, this kind of inspires me this morning, and I want us to be these kind of people. When we're down and depressed, lid lifters in our life will stop at nothing to get us into the presence of God. Do you know that? Where when you're down and out, we can have a little bit of a pity party, be like, "Hey, come on, let's get to Key Point Church." You don't need to run from church when you're going through a hard time. You need to run to church. Come on, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. That's good preaching, Chad. I just want to let you know that was awesome, you know? Hey, look, don't hide out for like 6 months and everything. Let the devil whoop your tail for a little while. No, get around some lid lifters. Say, "I'm going to be in the presence of God no matter what." These cats were determined. You see, I want to encourage you, join a small group today. Come on, get around some people that are going to help you. You know, psychiatrists will tell you that we are the sum total of the five closest relationships that we have. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. The first ever lid lifter in my life spiritually was my best friend. His name's Timmy Simmons. He pastors in Mississippi right now. And he had gotten saved. This was June the 9th of 1993. And back in those days, they had like these weird sayings at churches like for like a week-long camp. And they had this thing at a church called Radically Saved Week. And it was like teenagers over there, and they were like having church services and everything like that. Well, my best friend had went there, and he got saved that morning. And he called me that day. And he said, "Hey, dude, you need to come to church tonight." I was like, "Yeah, I got some stuff I need to do, you know." And he's like, "Well, you know, this chick is asking about you." Lied to my face. Absolutely lied to my face. I was like, "For real? Angie is asking about me?" And he's like, "Yeah, she's talking a lot." And so I went to church seeking galvation. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? I went up in there, I was like, "Yeah, Angie's here. Yeah, she is here." He didn't lie about that. And so I'm planning on after church, I'd be like, you know, I've been to church enough to be able to say, "Hey, come on, sister, we need some fellowship, you know?" But dude, it was so powerful. When I walked into the room, ladies and gentlemen, the power of God's love absolutely changed me. And I got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, same service. And after it was over, I was like, "This is the greatest. I'm saved. I'm filled. I'm cleansed. I'm forgiven." And this chick is interested in me. My best friend goes, "Well, I lied to you, but you're a Christian now, so you got to forgive me." And I was like, I'm the lovable loser, you know? But deep down, look at me. I thank God that Timmy Simmons would stop at nothing to get me in the presence of God. It forever changed me. All the time be inviting people to this church. Be able to say, oh, there, here comes Fred. He's going to invite me to church again. Well, that's because you don't go to church. You need to go to church. You need to be around people that are going to help you out. You need to be around faith. Come on. You all know what I'm talking about? So let's be those type of people. Let's be people who are all in for Key Point Church. Amen? The second thing that a lid lifter will do is they'll show you their faith. I have laughed at this scripture for years because it said when Jesus saw their faith, can you really see faith? Oh, yeah. You can see faith big time. How, Pastor Jed? Well, think about the faith that was in the room. There had to be faith for those guys to lower this cat down and say, you know what? If this guy gets there, he's going to get healed. All right? But then there had to be faith for the guys who were doing the lowering, and there also had to be the faith to be lowered. Can you imagine the poor guy on the stretcher? I mean, put yourself, let's say it's, you know, he's up like 12 feet and he's being lowered down. Can you imagine what the guy was like? If so, help me God, if you guys drop me. Well, is there anybody else in the room that has the spiritual gift of being a smart aleck like I do? Let me tell you something. I'm anointed to be a smart aleck, all right? It's kind of like we're like, this is a spiritual gift and a natural gift. You're really good at it. So can you imagine the guy's going, man, so help me God if you drop me. I'd be like, okay, so what's the worst that can happen? You're paralyzed. It's not like it's going to hurt. Let's just hope you die and you go to heaven, you know, and stuff like that. So there's a lot of, some of you are like, I will never look at this scripture like this ever again in my life, all right? But think about it. Jesus sees these guys, and then he really messes everybody up, and he looks at him and goes, son, your sins are forgiven. And you know, if I'm upstairs and I'm holding on to the guy, I'd be like, hey, Lord, he doesn't need to get saved. He needs to get healed. I've told this fool I'm not carrying him back. But what's so awesome about Jesus is that, isn't it great when we realize that Jesus knows more about our needs than we do? Because Jesus would have looked at me if I'd have said that, and he'd say, Chad, what good is two working legs if you use it to walk into hell? I've seen some of the coolest things. That's why you got to be at church every week. Even when I'm on sabbatical, I'm going to be in the presence of God every week. I love the local church. I found my wife in the church. I found my purpose, my calling in the church, ladies and gentlemen. You got to be around the presence of God. I love signs and wonders. Have you ever seen anybody healed? Dude, that's awesome. I remember one time we cast demons out of a girl one time. For real happened. Another story for another time. We'll freak you out, all right? In our church in Alabama, about 2 years ago, we had this lady. She was like a grandmother to everybody in the church. She was 87 at the time. Everybody called her Granny. And as she's getting her coffee in the lobby, Granny has a heart attack, massive heart attack, falls back. You can hear her head cracking on our concrete. Granny falls dead, no pulse for 10 minutes. And I'm coming in, you know, because I love to spend time with people and everything. I'm about to come in the lobby, and all of a sudden one of our nurses grabbed me, and they said, Granny's gone. So what do you mean she's gone? Like, she's dead. I was like, are you kidding? They said, she just fell dead. They said, if it wasn't a heart attack, then the way her head sounded when she hit the concrete, she's gone, Chad. Three different nurses said she's gone. So I'm going in. Please, there's a reason why I'm giggling, all right? I'm not a jerk, all right? So I'm walking in. And I'm about to do the preacher thing. I'm about to go, you know, lay hands on her and pray. They're about to cover her up, all right? So I'm going over there, and I'm about to walk over there, and I'm about to pray for Granny, and all of a sudden her son goes, no, nobody pray for her. This is where Granny would have liked to have died. And so I literally never broke stride. He said, no, nobody pray for her. I said, okie dokie. So I walked on back. And, you know, be it according to your faith, you know, that dude don't want you to pray for his dead mother, don't do it. But here's what's so cool. There was a group that heard about this, Coastal Kids next door, our kids ministry, first through sixth grade. They began to pray. They began to bombard heaven. They said, no, God, no, Granny's not supposed to die. I was like, come on, dude, she's 87. I mean, that's
It's a pretty good gig. That's a pretty good run, wouldn't you think? And they start praying, and they begin to lift up their voices, and kids are walking, and Coastal Kids said, Lord, don't let Granny die in 10 minutes. No breathing, no pulse. All of a sudden, Granny sits up and is like, I think I'm going to be all right. Her husband, her son, who is a lawyer, said, my mother was dead. Later on, like that week, everybody's thinking like, revival! At Coastal Church and everything. They're like, Chad, man, I'm hearing people getting raised from the dead there. I was like, dude, I never even touched the chick. It was awesome. So God got all the credit. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what happens when you get in the presence of God. When you get in the presence of God, great things begin to happen. Some signs and wonders. Somebody like, signs, what's a sign? Like somebody getting raised from the dead. What's a wonder? Where you sit back there, I wonder how that happened. See, this is what happens. But here's, watch this. Do you know what's greater than that? It's whenever you bring somebody to church and you watch them give their life to Jesus and their sins are forgiven. And then whenever all of a sudden you have water baptism and you see them coming out with their hands lifted up saying, I'm clean, Chad. I'm clean from head to toe. There's nothing like that. I want you to get addicted to seeing people saved like never before. There are so many people that are hurting. There are so many people are more fragile than we ever know. Do you know that? And so I love the fact that Jesus tells him that his sins are forgiven. Now watch this. Why does he do this? Because forgiveness meets the greatest need. It costs the greatest price. It brings the greatest blessings. And it has the most lasting results. When Jesus does this, it ticks off all the religious people. All right? How do you know a religious person in a church? The person that gets ticked off the easiest. And some of you just got mad at my statement of that because you're religious, all right? No, you're not. You're all sweet up in here. I remember one time I made a statement that I knew was probably going to tick some folks off, and I said, you know what? My granddaddy taught me you throw a rock into a pack of wild dogs, the one that barks the loudest, that's the one that got hit, you know? And Jesus does this, and all of a sudden the people are sitting there saying, who's this guy think he is? He can forgive sins. Now watch this. Jesus does this to mess with them. And he says, which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and take your mat and walk? You see, for a regular man, the power to heal and the power to forgive is both impossible. But if you're a man who's God, it's not. You see, if Jesus can forgive the man's sins, he could also heal his body too. Because forgiveness is invisible, healing is visible. But Jesus does this because why? Look at this. This is a good teaching moment for you. The Pharisees of Jesus' day were teaching everybody, if you were sick or you were handicapped, it's because you had sin in your life. So Jesus forgives the guy his sins first, and then all of a sudden, look at how he wraps the whole thing up. He says this in verse 10. He said, but I want you to know the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. He said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And he got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of them all, and this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like that. That's a wonder. I wonder how this happened. By the way, quick question. When did Jesus lay his hands on the guy? He doesn't. He speaks. Not only can you see lid lifters' faith, you can hear it coming out of their mouth. You know that? You know who's lid lifter in my life? Your pastor, Pastor Casey Hennigan. I love that man so much. I love him. Seriously, if you're checking out a church, you could not be under a finer pastor than a pastor's wife. You know, I pastored my first church here locally, and Pastor Casey and I were friends. And whenever I left the church man, I was so heartbroken. I was healing up, and I just called him up, and I said, hey, Pastor Casey, this is whenever y'all were in the old building. I called him up, and I said, Pastor Casey, I don't want to draw any scenes. Can I just sit in the back row? I'll come in late, and nobody will know that I was there. And he's like, no, man, come hang out with me. I was like, no, I'm just going to kind of, man, that man chased me. And I was like, all right, easy, stalker, stop it. And you know what he did? He loved on me, and he spoke to me. And because I'm a 20-year football coach, and I was like, man, maybe this whole preaching thing ain't for me. And he would speak life to me, and he'd say, Chad, you're going to go, and you're going to heal up, and you're going to pastor a great church one day. And we're going to be right here for it. And right before we ever had our first service, I hope I can hold back without getting too emotional. Before we started, it was 9 months later, we started our church. He sent a check
for $2,000 from Key Point Church, from all of you, telling us, hey, Key Point Church is behind you. We love you so much. You're going to kill it, man. Coastal Church in Daphne, Alabama, the church that I'm privileged to pastor. I'm here today because I'm a debtor to you. And I thank you so much for being a lid lifter in my life. There's another lid lifter in my life that I don't even know her name. I was at our church started up, and we'd grown about 300 people, and we had outgrown the school where we were in, and we found some land, and I was so tired, but I felt like God wanted me to go to a conference. This is in Birmingham, and so I drove up to Birmingham, and I'm talking to a guy, and he goes, man, I heard y'all might be onto some land. I said, yeah, it's a perfect scenario, dude. It's almost 25 acres. The auditorium's 11,000 square foot. I was like, that's all the space we'll ever need. And there was this lady who was refilling the coffee. By the way, those of you that serve here, let me let you know something. You are a living, breathing lid lifter, and you're designed by God to speak miracles into people's lives. So, well, I just pour the coffee every week, Pastor Chad. Watch this. I was there, and all of a sudden, whenever I said, that's all the property we're ever going to need, all of a sudden, this lady who was pouring in the coffee, she turned around, and she goes, hey, are you a pastor? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, where are you pastoring at? I said, well, it's a little church called Coastal Church in Daphne, Alabama. And she goes, you said something that didn't sound right with me. And I was like, who is this chick? Who do you think she's going to do? She said, can I just say something to you? I was like, I kind of sense this could be God. I was like, go on, girl, you know? And she said, I don't know who you are, and I don't know anything about your church, but the Spirit of God prompted me to tell you something. That's not all the property that you're going to need. She said, there's multiple services. There's multiple campuses inside of you. That is not all the property that you're going to need. Pastor, dream big and believe God for great things. I looked at her. I said, I received that in Jesus' name. And I walked away from her. I was like, this chick is on crack. She don't even know nothing about me. And ladies and gentlemen, watch this. She called out. I don't know who she was, but that woman lifted me out of exhaustion and called something out in me I didn't know was in our future. And now we have 4 campuses today, 7 different buildings. We averaged 1,903 people last month. We saw 263 people give their life to Jesus, 103 people water baptized. It gets credited to your account, and it gets credited to some chick in Birmingham who I don't even know. You and I need lid lifters in our life who will speak, get us into the presence of God, and speak faith into our life and call out the greatness inside of every one of us. You see, ladies and gentlemen, not only do we know what lid lifters do, I want to show you for the time that we have left, especially for our teenagers who are about to go to school, okay? I want to show you who teenagers are and how to lid lifters are and how to recognize them when God sends them their way, all right? See, why do I tell you this? Because when I was young, I rarely got into trouble by myself. Now, I could do it. I accomplished that on a frequent occasion, but I mean, not near as much when I was running with the wrong folks. Teenagers, there are more scriptures on friendship than there are heaven and hell combined. Do you know why? Because your friends will carry you to hell with them. And God wants us to be able to reckon. He wants us to have great relationships, but he also wants to show us who he is sending into our life to be lid lifters, all right? And the best way to recognize lid lifters is to know the ones who God is sending you to avoid. Psalm 1 shows us how to avoid who to avoid. Watch this. It says, blessed is the one who doesn't walk in the step with the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners or take or sit in the company of mockers. The first group that God tells us they ain't gonna be a lid lifter, the Bible calls the ungodly. Okay? Some of y'all know ungodly people. I mean, they'll even come to church every now and then. They're not evil. They ain't got horns. You know? They don't cuss every other breath or anything like that. They're just unsettled. They have no certain aim or direction in their life. It's just, here's the best way to describe an ungodly. God's just not very important to them. You know, and they aren't bad people. They just don't have room for God in their life. They're too busy to read their Bibles on a regular basis or go be a small group. Ungodly people, they live by convenience, not by conviction. You know, they can be happy and fun to be around, but they're just not experienced with sacrifice. I walked through your building earlier. I was like, my God, this building's pristine. I asked I asked Pastor Keith. By the way, Pastor Keith and I went to Bible college together. The only guy that I know that has not gained any weight in 20 years. Don't you hate people like that? I'm looking over there. It's like, you look the exact same. Clean living. Don't you gotta love that? The ungodly people, what they're guilty of are sins of omission, not sins of commission. It's the stuff that they don't do. The next group of people who won't be lid lifters in our life are the Bible calls sinners, all right? Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't hang out with them. Why does God warn us about them? It's because if you hang out with them long enough, they're going to get you in trouble. You're going to get hurt. You could even get killed, all right? You know, they know the Bible classifies sinners from ungodly people completely different because ungodly people don't know they're doing wrong. A sinner knows exactly what he's doing, all right? And they like to test the boundaries, all right? They are not guilty of sins of omission. They're sins of commission, all right? They know what to do, and they just don't obey, and they just don't care no more. And that's where I was whenever Jesus saved me. I was 19 years old, guys. I'd already had 2 suicide attempts. I had been arrested. I was appointed to a drug-ordered rehab. I was the type of scumbag that you did not want your daughter to date, because if I didn't sleep with her, I'd tell everybody that you did that I did. I mean, just a real piece of work, you know. Let me tell you, I was to a point, I had to go to church every week. Ladies and gentlemen, I swallowed everything that ungodly people and sinners told me. I had no discernment, and I came under the world's influence. I was enamored with the world, and I got the heart of a sinner, and I was well on my way to falling into the last category that ain't going to be a lid lifter in your life, teenagers, and it's this, the mockers. Now watch the scenario that Psalm 1 shows us real quick, all right? You're sitting there, you start off walking, and then you end up standing, kind of giving ear to it. And then finally, you're sitting. You become comfortable there. Ladies and gentlemen, when a mocker, boy, the Bible don't talk real good about what happens to mockers. See, mockers are kids who don't respect their parents. You want to know why they don't respect their parents? Because their parents don't make them respect them. I've coached a bunch of mockers in my day. And you just sit there and you have to run them a lot of laps because they don't think that the rules apply to them. They think they're the exception to the rule. Now, in my house, I'm not telling you got to adopt this, but in my house, we spank, okay? My dad had a philosophy that there is not a problem that a butt whipping could not fix, you know? But it's amazing how much his philosophy changed when he had grandkids. He's like, Chad, you don't need to. I was wrong to have whipped y'all the way I was. I was like, no, you didn't. You saved my life, you know. And my little boy, he's a rule follower. I've only had to spank him like 5 different times. And I got some counsel before I ever had a kid. He goes, there's one guy who's expert on family. He goes, Chad, never spank mad. I was like, what do you mean you don't spank mad? That's the reason why I was spanking him. He made me mad. And he said, no. If you're gonna whoop, don't whoop mad. Wait till you calm down. He said, because the Bible tells us in Proverbs, the rod of your anger will fail. I said, what does that mean? He goes, if you want your kid to learn the lesson, don't whoop them mad, because what they'll think the lesson is don't tick dad off. Not don't go play out in the highway like an idiot. I was like, man, that's pretty darn good. See, ladies, there are 18 different scripture references for the word rod. And the Bible tells us that's how you deal with a mocker. You got to drive it out. The Bible says, when the mockers punish, the simple gain wisdom. My sisters never got whoopings. My sisters were never grounded. You know why? They did the exact opposite of everything that I did. They're like, he keeps getting whippings for this. I mean, by laws of reduction, they were like, why do I want to do this? He stays grounded. His behind stays sore. It doesn't make any sense. They gained wisdom because I was so stupid. Some of us are like, hey, you know what? I'm going to change my parenting philosophy when I get home. You know how you're going to tell the difference between the wise child and the rebellious child? Both of your children are going to get on there and say, man, what got into mama today? That wise child will look at that rebellious kid and go, I don't know, but you're going to find out before me. You know? Now watch this. If you don't set boundaries, by the way, there's a great book by Dr. Henry Cloud called Boundaries. Aside from the Bible, it is one of the greatest books you could ever read whenever it comes to relationships and raising your children. Highly recommend it, okay? But here's the thing. The only way, we got to understand, love has to be tough. And whenever it comes to mockers, whenever you sense that your children are running with some folks that are like this, cut it off. All right, set boundaries and they'll love you for it. You still love me for sharing this? The next thing we see is Psalm 2. Psalm 1-2 says this, but their delight is in the law of the Lord and they meditate on it day and night. Do you know how to learn how to be successful in life? I meditate on what God's word says. Now, meditation ain't sitting cross-legged like some guru sucking on a carrot. That ain't it. It's reading God's word and thinking about it, saying, you know what? What is it? So I read God's word, I meditate on it, I do what it says, and then I prosper. Three keys to prosperity: meditate, do, prosper. That's how God works. All right? This verse shows us who those lid lifters are and what they do. They delight in the law of the Lord. They're not perfect, but they repent quick and they forgive quick. All right? I believe that my little boy, because we've disciplined him the right way, that boy, he's a rule follower. He's like his mama. He'd have made a great Pharisee. You know what I'm talking about? Man, Evan follows the rules just because it's cool to follow the rules. Dad, I don't understand why people don't like to follow the rules. That's dumb. And I'm like, well, you wouldn't have liked me, you know? The other day, his grandmother, they drove up to the movie theater, and she said, hey, Evan, go see what time the movie starts. So, you know those long, long ropes and everything like that? You got to walk through a darn maze whenever the crowd's there. So Evan literally walked through everything, you know, just like that out there. I mean, he could have, like, went underneath the ropes. And then whenever he found out what the thing was, he walked right back through it and came back over there. And my mother-in-law, she goes, Evan, why didn't you just walk underneath the ropes? And all of a sudden, Evan rebuked his grandmother. He looked at her and he goes, Yaya, those people who made those rules, they made those rules for a purpose. And the rules are to be followed whether or not people are watching or not. And I said, my God, I've raised a genius. This is awesome. Now watch this. Let me wrap this up. You see, we have to teach our kids how to do life with the right people so they'll want to do life with the rest of do life with the right type of people for the rest of our life. Parents who get involved in small groups later on have kids who want to be involved in small groups on the weekends instead of running with a bunch of idiots. All right? So do this. What parents do in moderations, our kids will do in excess. And so the last thing we see is the result of the lid lifter. It says this in verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do will prosper. We'll be refreshed. That means as in our relationship with God, we'll be refreshed by God. We'll be refreshed by other people. We'll be productive. We'll walk in divine timing. We'll always be producing. And whatever we do will prosper. We need lid lifters and every success we have will be because of the relationships that we have. I want you to fall in love, Key Point Church, again today. Not that you're not, but re-fall in love with winning people who are far from God. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like seeing somebody transform. I'm full-blooded Irish. And so that means two things. That nobody ever gets mad alone in my presence, and nobody ever cries alone in my presence. You know, it's just in my genes. And there was a lady that was in our church in the early days, and her name was Bertie. And she's related to my brother-in-law. And Bertie would come to church, man, just sweet, sweet lady. And I had our kids pastor come up to me and said, hey, Aunt Bertie needs you to go visit her husband. I was like, I ain't never met her husband. She said, yeah, he doesn't like preachers. I'm like, well, why do you want me to go? And they said, yeah, he's kind of a jerk, and he may kind of like cop an attitude with you. I'm like, dude, you know me. I still have redneck proclivities. You know, somebody jump up and, you know. Anyway, he's still working on me, all right? And then I said, well, why don't you go? And she goes, because he's a pervert. I'm like, I ain't got anything better to do than go over there and talk to some dude that's a stinking pervert that may start a fight with me. And I said, Aunt Bertie really is begging for you to go. And I said, all right. And so have you ever been doing what God told you to do and you're like debating with God and kind of like, you're kind of praying, but you're kind of getting on to God? Man, I'm driving. It's about 30 minutes away from me. And I'm driving my Toyota Camry, and I'm mad that I got to go. And I'm like, God, I'm just telling you right now, Earl better not get in my face.
is I would drop that old dude in his house, and all of a sudden the Mobile press register will say, local pastor beats up man in his own house. Says anything perverted to me, I'm going to knock the taste out of his mouth. Been around perverts my whole life. I ain't going to choose to be walking with this fool. And so I get up in there, and man, I'm praying. I'm halfway mad that I'm there. And Aunt Bertie doesn't even welcome me. I walk through the kitchen. She's like, he's in there. And as soon as I walk, let me tell you something. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. Because as soon as I walk through the kitchen, the Holy Spirit whispers, earn the right to be heard. I walked up and I said, hey, Earl, I'm Chad. He goes, yeah, you're the reverend, right? I said, yeah. Aunt Bertie said you've been going through some health challenges and everything. Yeah, well, she's overreacting. Yeah. And I said, where'd y'all move from? Moved from Detroit, worked at the Ford plant for 35 years, and all of a sudden, I had just finished reading about Henry Ford. And so I sit down next to him, and I start talking to him about how the plant was run and everything. And I looked up, and it was like 45 minutes was gone. And he's just talking to me, and I'm like genuinely interested. And so I looked up, and I was like, oh, man. Hey, look, I know you were watching a movie, and you got it on pause, but... You know, I just wanted to come by and just let you know I'm going to be praying for you. And he's like, hey, yeah, I appreciate it. And I looked at him and I said, can I come back? And he's like, yeah, I mean, it's no big deal. So about every couple of weeks I would drop in and he would begin to let his guard down a little bit more. He actually laughed like the third trip I was there. And so the fourth time I walked in, I was like, what's up, Uncle Earl? And he's just sitting there, you know, like, golly, you Southern guy. And we're talking, and I'm getting into his world, and, you know, he'd ask about the church every now and then. Not awful lot, but we were just talking, and then he was going in for some more tests, and I said, hey, Uncle Earl, I heard you going in for some tests, and so just want to let you know I'm going to be praying for you. Yeah, I need all the prayers I can get. And he would get good reports, and then got bad reports. And one day, I step off the stage, and our kids pastor comes to me, and they said, Uncle Earl doesn't have much longer. They put him in the hospital last night. He's swollen up big time. Would you go and see him? I was like, yeah, man, this time I wanted to. And I walked in, and all these machines are hooked up to him. And I'd never prayed with the man, nothing. I just got in the guy's world. And I walked up to him. I said, hey, Uncle Earl, it's Rev. Hey, Rev. I said, I heard we got a bad report. And he goes, yeah. All of a sudden, he looked at me and goes, hey, Rev. And his eyes filled up with tears, and he looked up at me and goes, I've lived on the planet for 76 years, and then this is what absolutely ripped me up. He goes, and I'd done a lot of bad stuff. Do you think he'd forgive me? And man, again, nobody cries alone in my presence. I looked at him and I said, Uncle Earl, I guarantee you he will. If he'd forgive me, he'll forgive anybody. And I laid down there and I led the man to Jesus. And his eyes teared up and I almost ruined a tender moment. Because I looked at him and I said, oh, I love you, Uncle Earl. And he looked at me and goes, yeah, I love you too, Rev. And I walked out and I was like, ooh, that was... Sure, I'm glad he said it back to me. Otherwise, you know, it could have been weird. And I said, I'm praying for you. Now you're saved. I'm going to believe God to heal you. And he goes, yeah, yeah. And I walked out, and everybody, by the time I got into the car, everybody had heard that Uncle Earl had given his life to Jesus. I was like, yeah, now we're going to see him get healed and raised up. About 6 hours later, Earl stood before Jesus, a cleansed man. He died. So glad that I decided to put my guard down and love on a man who was far from God, because I couldn't be able to tell a story like that. I couldn't be able to describe to you watching somebody pass from life to death. Watch a guy who just made more mistakes than anything else, who looked and actually thought there was a chance that there would be a God who would love him exactly where he was. Key Point Church.
Northwest Arkansas can be saved. You can be key players in it. You can be this type of place where we're constantly, man, we are, you know, we're all in. We believe. We're constantly inviting. We're constantly loving. We're finding a way. It's all going to be based on whether we want to be lid lifters. It's all going to be about, hey, man, who are we around that's bringing out the best in us? And it's also about, man, do we have the faith to believe, be able to believe that even the worst, that Jesus still saves from the uttermost to the guttermost, no matter what your story is. You may be full of it today. You may be full of so much sin. You may be here just to, you know, we have people that come to our church just to fulfill community service sometimes. It's totally cool. I don't care what brought you here, but look at me and I'm done. You are not here by accident. The Holy Spirit has divined this moment right there for you. You may be an atheist right now. But one atheist told me, he said, I'm not sure there's a God, Chad, but I'm coming here and I'm hearing about him because if there is a God, he appears to be chasing me. That's you. Today's your day. The Holy Spirit wants to speak new life into your situation. And when we do, Northwest Arkansas will be saved. Would you stand and let's pray? Father, I love this church so much, and I thank you for the opportunity I've had to share your word with them. Lord, your word says the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Lord, help us to stand on your word no matter what we're facing right now. Lord, help us to get involved in the community of this church. Lord, let us get involved in several small groups and begin to do life with one another. Help us to realize that we're called to be lid lifters. And Lord, help us to realize that, Lord, we need to find who the lid lifters are going to be in our life. Some of us are one relationship away from changing the course of our destiny. And I thank you for calling it out in us today. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed, every eye closed, please nobody move. And if you're here today, you say, Chad, I don't have a relationship with God. Or maybe you one time served God, but you've drifted and fallen away. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you. This is between you and God. If you're here today and you say, Chad, I'm not right with God, would you pray for me right now with nobody looking around? If that's you, you say, Chad, I'm not right with God. I want to be right with God today. Would you pray for me? Would you just lift up your hand real quick? Chad, pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. I see you. Come on. Don't you dare go to bed tonight thinking that there's a barrier between you and God whenever that barrier can be removed right now. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Chad, pray for me. I'm not right with God. I want to be right with God today. Is there anybody else? Those of you with your hands raised right now, we are all going to pray this prayer together. You're part of the family of God now. And we are all going to pray this prayer together. Even those of you who are watching online, and you're going to be assured for heaven as if you were already there. Pray this prayer out loud with me, church. Dear Lord Jesus, you know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm a sinner, and I've committed sins. But today, Lord Jesus, I give you those sins. I ask you to come into my heart, wash me clean, and I'll live for you as you show me how. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, let's give it up for all those that gave their life to Jesus today.